The following is a sharing by Grace Bryant that was recorded 3 days after the 49-day silent retreat in the winter of 2018 at Hridaya Yoga in Mexico. With the additional 10 days of retreat following the 49 days, the total time Grace spent in silence was 59 days. After 2 months of silence, Grace had these words to share. Please listen with an open heart and find inspiration for your own liberation practice. You can also read Grace's written sharing at the link below.
When Phoebe signed up, we had a phone call a couple days later, and the day before that, this flash was, oh, you should sign up for the 49-day retreat. And then Phoebe said, I'm doing the 49-day retreat. And I was like, well, that's an interesting coincidence. So I signed up, and there was a waiting list. And I messaged Sahaja, and he said, you'll be in. You'll be here. So about a month later, I got in. And wow, that could really resonate what Phoebe said. That just, like, oh my God, this is happening. And for me, I think I've wanted it for so long that it's such an amazing gift that it's just in this little package. Like, here you go. Go do this thing. So I felt really blessed and really honored. I also felt really trusted with being able to come. And then the few months leading up were really intense. I had a lot materially and relationship-wise and mentally and spiritually. I think I had a lot of purifications and a lot of things to put down and to surrender. And I knew that this would really be about surrender for me and about letting go. And so when I actually got here, it felt like a vacation because there was so much intensity in actually arriving here. And when we went to the hotel and had our first meeting, I just went, oh, okay, I'm ready to be in silence. And we started and we went in the first morning, and I was just in this joy of like, okay, it's happening, and I'm scared and I don't know what's going to happen. And then I got sick. I got really sick the very first day. And I had to miss about a day of the retreat, and I didn't eat for a couple of days, and it felt pretty quickly, I felt like relieved to be empty. I felt like I was carrying so much in with me and so many expectations and just so much baggage, and it felt like that physical purification and coming back in and not knowing if I could do the yoga and being really sick and really weak and just really empty. I felt like it was such a gift from God. When we went to the hotel and we had Sahaja came and gave us some very angelic words of inspiration, and the last thing he said was, experiment in your surrender to love. And I just took that to heart. I just decided that would be how I did it. And so I didn't set my alarm. I didn't try to wake up at a certain time. I didn't try to meditate for a certain amount of hours a day. And of course, my mind was telling me, you should, and you know, everyone else is these warriors and so disciplined. And I had to I had to love that and integrate that probably every day. But in letting go of looking at the clock and the calendar, and that was huge for me. I mean, in my life, I'm so attached to time and schedules and being busy, and I realized how much I value myself on that, on being wanted and on these relationships and on I'm really attached to that. So that was quite a process of letting that fall away. There were some amazing moments of surrender, and leading up to that, I felt this real push and pull. I felt like I wanted so badly to surrender that I was grasping for it. Like, where is it? Give it to me. And I wrote a couple times to Sahaja about it, and I think that was one of the most, probably the most inspiring, was being able to communicate. And I found that just in even saying, like, just in being honest with what my ego struggles were, what the challenges were, what the beauty was, I would write a letter and put it in the box, and then it was like it kind of went away. Like, just in telling someone what the challenges were, that was so much a part of the beauty. And then I would notice, I got the letter back a few days later, and I was just excited to see what you said, but it felt like, I got this. But every time I opened the letter, I just fell to my knees crying and was so inspired with the insight. And then it came, like, I wrote a letter about not being able to surrender, grasping, and it just, like, there were just these bursts, like, it was like being under a waterfall, and then so much falling away. Yeah, so much just didn't matter, and there were, I kind of had fun watching the mind. I mean, it was kind of like watching kids play a board game and get upset at each other or something. It was like, just, it was just doing its thing. And at a certain point, I didn't care at all anymore. There was this depth, and there were these just like sweet, intimate meditations. And then like my mind would start, and I had some demons, or memories, or the memories just kept going back further and kept, like, would start playing around in my dreams, and it was just, like, it was just happening, and everything was just the witness. Like, it was really just arising and falling and arising and falling, and it didn't matter. Sleep was really interesting, because that kind of fell away too. And at a certain point, it just became the present moment, and like it never stopped being the present moment. Like, there wasn't this, now I've slept, now I've woken up. Like, yeah, except that my biggest challenge was food, not actually with the food, but with my mind. That's a really big story I have, is around food and food cravings and eating disorder. And for like the first 3 weeks, most of my dreams were about feasting and pastries, and God, I was journaling my dreams, and I kind of noticed after about 2 weeks, I looked back at my dream journal, and it was like food, 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 food. And then as as that story kind of receded and I found some holes in the story, which was helpful, the dream stopped too. At a certain point, I realized, oh, it's not like it's not that subconscious pull anymore. It's just a story. I think overall, gratitude. The depth of gratitude and this feeling of vastness and compassion and connection are kind of the echoes right now. And it's been a really interesting couple of days since we came out of silence. But really, really gratitude. And a lot of gratitude for the people who have done this before. I feel like we just joined a really cool club. Like we get a stamp. And I've been kind of asking people like Gesina and Rudy, like, what's the integration like and what am I supposed to do now? Because I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm really confused. But that feels like it's right. Yeah. I think that's enough.
Any questions?
Yeah. You've talked a lot about kind of your adventure, going through it, you know, through journaling and how you got there and things like that. What about changes in your states of consciousness? Do you recollect, shifts in your conscious perspective or where your consciousness went to?
Yeah, a big shift was this feeling of transparency. Like, I really am a body made of light and nothing else. And not being acknowledged as a human for 2 months is amazing. Like, this feeling of I am a person called Grace with all of these personalities, like, it was like I was wearing clothing with the personalities and my name and all those things, and it just like I just kept taking off the clothing. And I could kind of see it piled on the floor, but I felt like I was just more and more transparent and less any of these individual bodies. I was stargazing one night. I spent a lot of time with the moon and the stars. I watched the moon rise lying in my bed 3 nights in a row. It was so heavenly. And I did a lot of lying down meditation, which is a big transition for me in letting go. And I found a lot of inspiration in vastness and in the infinite, and I really found God in the infinite. And so when I found that, there was a big transition of feeling infinite and vast and just not me anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers.
When you speak of transparency, is that you being able to see the structure of your own self-identity?
It's like being a ghost. It's like being physically and mentally and emotionally transparent. It was like, okay. I couldn't see it because there wasn't much left to see. It was like all the things that I had really seen before, and like they just, it really felt like I was loosening and loosening and loosening from from seeing those things. So there wasn't much left to see.
Right.
I don't think I have the words.
Back on, or are you gonna
well, I hope walk, not, but we'll see.
Walk without them.
I certainly have the intention to stay transparent. And it's been interesting, you know, picking up my phone for the first time was weird. And talking to people, like, I definitely can see the immediacy of, well, I'm Grace, and this is what I do in the world. Or people asking me, like, oh, you're going home, what are you going to do? And kind of identifying with the things I do in the world. So I really hope, actually, Gesine said, when you see your old patterns come up, witness them, love them, and then let them go. And I think that will be a nice reminder of not putting them back on. Thank you.
Same note you mentioned about this surrender, which was so important to you. Can you explain more how this happened, or what it was about, or what consisted?
Well, it was on the sharing on Sunday. I said about this afternoon where I was certainly. It was like probably an hour before dinner, and I was like, I'm just going to keep sitting here, and then yeah, and then they were playing the music next door, and then they were fixing the motorbike, and then it was like, really, 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 and I'm supposed to be freaking meditating right now? And then this laughter came, this just spontaneous laughter came, and I threw myself on the bed and I was just laughing hysterically, and then like that became the meditation. And so that was a really pivotal moment of surrender, and that was when, yeah, I sent you a message and said, well, surrender has come. But then there was also a moment, I think I used that. I recognized that laughter was it. That laughter, I have a motto that's hold everything sacred, take nothing seriously. So that was how I reminded myself to not take myself seriously. But then there was this really incredible moment. I don't know where this came from, but I was having a lovely meditation, and popped into my head a line from Wayne's World, the movie Wayne's World, where he holds out his hand and he dumps the bottle of aspirin and he says, ah, Nuprin, little, yellow, different. And that just cracked me up. It just like cracked me up. And then the laughter turned into tears, and it turned into like just deep flowing tears. And then there was this flash of just the veil was ripped off, and and I didn't have any choice but to surrender. It was there. Like, it wasn't me surrendering. It was the surrender. It just happened. And after that, I just didn't pick up my personality again. And there were certainly a lot of moments of surrender too, and a lot of moments of like, of partial surrender and conscious surrender, and seeing like, oh, this is a pattern I'm holding on to. I'm gonna put that down. But that felt like a moment of like it wasn't my effort. I was reading Ramana yesterday and I saw a quote. I mean, and he said, you can only really surrender when you know what surrender is. And I actually understood what that meant, which really surprised me. Like, you can't, it's like the truth reveals itself in the truth. And then I just played around in the freedom. I felt so free after that, and I just had fun and was in joy and didn't let things really escalate, except this one time, but it's just been like that.